Our study this morning is going to be on prayer. Paul, speaking to Timothy, there in 1 Timothy says, I exhort that first of all, supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks be given for all men. So there is nothing so important to the believer that is necessary to going on to spiritual maturity as is prayer. It is stressed over and over and over again in Scripture. Paul goes so far as to say that we should pray without ceasing. And we've looked at that subject in particular in the past. 6 times he actually says that we should pray without ceasing. And we find out in our studies in the past that it's a little bit more than just stating something. It has to do more with a way of life and an attitude. And he said that without ceasing, how did he get anything else done if that was a situation of going into his closet, for example, to pray? He'd be in the closet all the time if he was praying without ceasing. But nevertheless, it is a very important subject to the Christian. And it's clear that we should be about prayer in our Christian life. However, I think it is, in my opinion, one of the most misunderstood subjects in Scripture, and that's prayer. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 21 to begin with. Matthew chapter 21. I'll point out some verses with regard to prayer. And possibly we see some apparent contradictions when we look at some of these verses. Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 22. And all these things, whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. You know what? It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. How do you then get there? Do you just try harder? Do you pray more? Do you grit your teeth and pray again in order to accomplish all these things that you ask can be given unto you? How do you have more than 100% belief? So as a result of a misunderstanding, there's a lot of Christians walking around with guilt because they pray and they don't receive. And so they begin to have doubt, serious doubt. If it worked, you've heard me say this before, if that worked, I could go up to Duke's Hospital and empty it out yet today. Totally. But you know what? It doesn't work. It did work. But today, it doesn't work. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. This is Paul speaking. Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake, For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, if that prayer, whatever ye ask shall be given, could be bestowed upon anybody, it would be the Apostle Paul, I would think. But Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't really know what that thorn in the flesh was, but we do know that Paul prayed three times and asked the Lord, Lord, would you please pluck this thorn from me? That's a figure of speech, by the way, for whatever it was that was wrong with him. And the Lord said, Paul, like we hear today, my grace is sufficient for your needs. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying that prayer does not work or that it is unimportant. It just does not work like most people think. And that is trying to extract something from God that otherwise would not occur if we believe. Pray hard enough, long enough, with enough people, we can extract something from God. In essence, controlling God. Consequently, millions today are praying prayers of the past with doubt. For example, today, probably 10 million times or more today, people will be praying, Father, the Lord's Prayer, mistakenly thinking that it's the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It is the Kingdom Prayer. There in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, they asked, Lord, teach us how to pray. And this prayer that he gave them was the Kingdom Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord's Prayer actually came from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was the Lord's Prayer. Part, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Have you ever considered the results of that request, if that was true today? You talk about a stimulus package and a upheaval in the economic system. That won't happen. On the other hand, when you look at Paul and Silas when they were in the Philippian jail, prayer went up in the middle of the night. You read about it there in the 16th chapter of Acts. And that time they had the power to bind. They had a blank check on the will of God. Heaven and the power there came down and answered their prayer in that prison. There was an earthquake for shock and awe. The foundations of the whole prison shook. An angel came down. The doors were flew open. Fetters and chains fell to the ground. And of all things, the jailer comes to know the Lord as a result of that prayer. Why then not now? Well, prayer must be understood dispensationally. Just because there was a period of time there for 35 years or so during the Acts period, during the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, during Christ's ministry, there was this type of prayer where they actually had supernatural powers. We've talked about this in the past, that God has dealt with man differently throughout the ages, and that is also includes prayer. Most people today are trying, using prayer as it was given to the early church during that Acts period of 35 years. That's where most people see prayer as a something to extract something they want. Might be a good thing, get somebody well, healed, or whatever. But they lack the power. Back then, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had unbelievable power. Even the shadow of Peter would heal. Like I said, they had a blank check on the will of God. The blind, the crippled, the crazy. These things they were able to do were given as a sign to the nation of Israel that Christ was the Messiah. Today, these things you see on TV are counterfeit. They really are not something that's happening. So the question comes then, well, what does work today? What is the purpose of prayer today in the Church of the One Body? A study of the prayers in the letters written, in the latter letters written by the Apostle Paul, reveal at least six major points to consider with regard to prayer in this day in which we age, in which we live. Six purposes of prayer for the church today. So, first, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And we'll see what I think to be one of the main purposes of prayer. Ephesians, chapter 1. Verse 15. Paul says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Notice there's no personal request by Paul in that prayer for himself. You got to remember, Paul was in prison at that time. He doesn't even mention his thorn in the flesh. Only a realization of what God has done. And it comes through prayer. He says that we may have the spirit of wisdom. Thanks for others in Christ. That he prays that he will give us knowledge of him, that we may have hope, that we may have the riches of his glory in our mind, that we may have understanding. Prayer here is totally different than that occurred back in the Acts period and during the Gospel period. Prayer here is now directly related to truth. And we've talked about this before. Prayer becomes to the Word of God like spiritual digestion of food. It is the prayer that helps you to understand what God's love and wisdom and knowledge is. That's where prayer promotes you forward in your Christian life. So the first purpose is help or assistance in our quest to grow spiritually in his word. The second purpose I would point out, I think, comes over in the third chapter. Turn over to chapter 3 of Ephesians. Verse 14. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length, depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Here again, knowledge of love is central to prayer. That we may be led to Christ as head of the church, so to understand the mighty plan that God has set forth. Notice again, not one personal request. And you got to remember that Paul at this point is in prison, and I'm sure it's not all that pleasant. But he's not saying, Lord, this prison food is lousy. Will you please get them to hire a better cook? He's not saying, man, these prisons are noisy. I can't get any sleep, Lord. It's cold in here, Lord, cold and damp. Can you turn the heat up for me? I have sores from fetters and chains. Help me, Lord. None of that comes in Paul's prayers. Only that these Ephesians would be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Again, totally different than the prayers prior to the church of the one body as revealed to the Apostle Paul. Third purpose, go over to chapter 6 of Ephesians. Chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, that for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Here is his prayer. It's a more intimate, personal, for the saints. Again, not so much personal, but only impersonal, as he exposes the gospel of Christ has been given to him, and only him at this point. No one else at this point. This was by direct revelation to him with regard to this heavenly calling. Up to this point, the Old Testament, everything through the Gospels had everything to do with the kingdom and not anything to do with a heavenly calling. They didn't even none of those in the Old Testament ever expected to go to heaven. They only wanted a king like the nations round about and the promised land. That's what they wanted. Haven't had it? One day will. He asks for the ability to be bold. We should be bold. How often do you mention anything with regard to the scripture? People are out there with a lot of questions and a lot of doubt, and you have answers. So you got to be bold. You got to speak up. Does not ask for deliverance from prison, primarily because of what he had said back in Philippians. Well, what did he say in Philippians? Go over a few pages to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 11. He He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to abase, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me. He has an ability to just be oblivious to the fact that it's noisy, it's cold, it's damp. He's chained to a guard. Can you imagine that? Being chained to somebody for even a month. How about a year or two? Talk about losing your privacy. But he counted it as nothing for the cause of Christ. Secondary is his being in prison. What is important now is that he is an ambassador for the cause of Christ. We should be ambassadors for the cause of Christ. He says, pray that I will be victorious in this cause. Strengthen me in the inner man. So this is a third purpose. It enables the servant of Christ to endure over circumstances that are enchain us or they're uncomfortable to us, that we don't like very well, to bear, if you will, the unplucked thorns. Purpose number four. Stay in the book of Philippians, but go back to chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So forth is growth in love and judgment. Great understanding, not just in the scripture, but in life in general. In the vernacular, having your head screwed on straight. Quick to discern the truth from the lie. Sincere. Based on what your knowledge and understanding is as a result of these things that prayer can do for the Christian today. The fifth thing would be found in Philippians, again, chapter 4. Go over back to chapter 4 again. Beginning with verse 6. Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known made unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What does that amount to? I'll tell you what it amounts to. It amounts to a cure for anxiety in the crooked and perverse world in where we live. Here, we're looking at a prayer that actually knows no limits. It extends from nothing to everything. That means solace at 3 a.m. in the morning when things aren't going so well. You know, God has no answering machine. When you dial up prayer, he's always there. No, at the sound of the beep, leave your message. He's always there. doesn't come back and say, sorry, I'm not in right now. He is there for our times of trouble and anxiety. Nothing like a good prayer to the Lord causes a good night's sleep. Notice that thanks runs heavy through all of these model prayers. Paul is always thankful, always teaching us to be thankful, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of where you may find yourself. You know the last chapter of the book, and you can be thankful and grateful. The sixth purpose that I would point out is found in Colossians. There's two prayers in Colossians that we need to look at. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. It's the next book over from Philippians. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all his might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And then jump over to chapter 4. There's another section there. Chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently in you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Here then is the sixth purpose, that we be worthy and stand perfect and complete in the will of God. True prayer never attempts to question the will of God. And we've had lessons on the will of God. If you remember, there's two words. There's bulamai and thelo. The bulamai is a will, like today you write a will and it's written in stone and it can't be changed. And then that's the bulamai in the Greek. The thelo is a will or a desire or a wish. And so true prayer never attempts to question the will of God. Christ's example we should follow, not my will, he says, but thy will be done. So often we get our own will involved in there. This is what I want, Lord. No, not my will, but thy will be done. Legitimately, of course, we can pray for anything. But you've got to realize that no matter if you ask amiss, it still gives him some honor that you know he could do it if he damn well pleased. So the power of prayer that the early church had with regard to physical things does not exist today. Everything in that period of time, during the Acts period, the gospel, during Corinthians, they were all temporal requests. They are gone. The blessings of Abraham that are spoken of in prayer no longer exist. Therefore, like Paul, we must pray according to that which is promised to us in this time, knowing that if it is within the will of God, it will be answered because his grace is sufficient to our needs. And we've looked at what I think today are those things that make prayer today pertinent and possible in our lives. So, here's the six things summarized. One, prayer assists us to grow spiritually, to digest the spiritual foods of Scripture. Two, to acquire knowledge and love so that we are led to Christ as head of the church and understand his plan. Three, to enable us to endure hardship, knowing that one day it will be made right. Fourth, discernment or judgment of what is true and not lie. Number five, a great cure for anxiety, providing a peace that passes understanding in a crooked and perverse world. Number six, that we be worthy and stand perfect in the will of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for this written word. Again, ask that you would give us all open heart and mind and understanding that we may walk worthy of wherein we are called according to your good and perfect will, and that we may all here be rooted and grounded in your love and understand and grow in that knowledge and understanding. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.